The Alaska Supreme Court has rejected a plan creating new political boundaries in the state. It commends the Alaska Redistricting Board for its work, saying the record shows the board tried to weigh competing constitutional and statutory provisions. But the justices point to an earlier case in which the court found that while compliance with a federal voting rights law takes precedence over compliance with the state constitution, the voting law need not be elevated in such a way that the requirements of the Constitution are unnecessarily compromised. Yesterday's decision says the board must design a plan focusing on the constitutional requirements, determine if it complies with federal law, and if it does not, make revisions deviating from the Constitution when that's the only means available to meet the federal requirements. Justices heard oral arguments on the case on Tuesday. An investigation of the mishandled criminal prosecution of Senator Ted Stevens finds that prosecutors never conducted a comprehensive review of evidence favorable to the senator. A newly released report from a special prosecutor says agents of the FBI and Internal Revenue Service conducted an inadequate review of documents in the Stevens case. The report says some of the agents were unfamiliar with the facts or were unfamiliar with the legal requirements about turning over material to Stevens' legal team. The State House is ready for debate and a vote today on the operating budget for the state for the next year. The Finance Committee approved a final version of the spending plan yesterday morning. Anchorage Democrat Mike Dugan cast the only opposition to the plan, saying the state is spending too much money when it's facing the possibility of a decrease in the state's income if there's a reversal of oil prices or production.
If anybody here or anybody listening thinks that we're going to be able to sustain this level of spending, you know, good luck to you.
The committee has worked on preparing the budget since the beginning of the session, mostly through subcommittees, focusing on separate elements, branches, and departments of government. Final changes were made Tuesday with a package of amendments meeting individual members' wishes. Those last-minute changes, among other things, increase money for the university and return money that had originally been cut to early education. Big Lake Republican Mark Newman says he doesn't know anyone who thinks budget increases are good, but he asked how to stop them when faced with increased costs of heating or the higher costs of paving a road.
There's a lot of efficiencies where we spent a couple of bucks to try and save a couple of bucks in the future, and we're preparing for those days when we don't have the money. Is it higher than I want to see? Well, I think it's higher than everybody wants to see, but sometimes you have to do today to prepare for tomorrow.
The budget will be available for further amendments by the entire House and will be voted on today. From there, it will go to the Senate for consideration. The state's labor commissioner is retiring. Click Bishop, in a letter to Governor Sean Parnell, says his family looks forward to having him home full time. He requests his retirement be effective March 23rd. The letter is dated March 9th. Bishop cites several of the department's accomplishments over the last several years, including reducing workplace injuries and deaths and making permanent the state training and employment program. Goals of the program include promoting local hire and improving the quality of in-state job training and employment assistance. Bishop was appointed to the post in 2007 by then-Governor Sarah Palin. The state has moved a step closer to building the first Alaska-class ferry. Officials have completed a contract needed to hire Alaska Ship and Dry Dock to design and build the 500-passenger, 70-vehicle ship. The document still needs approval from the Ketchikan Shipyard, which was recently purchased by Portland, Oregon-based Vigor Industrial. The state announced its plans last September, but the agreement has taken longer than expected. Ferry Chief Mike Newsell says the shipyard will serve as both construction manager and general contractor.
It's new and it's different, and it's not the way we've procured ships in the past, so we're trying to be very thorough and make sure that we do that right.
The state has $120 million to build a 350-foot monohull vessel. It's not clear whether that will be enough money. The state's Marine Transportation Advisory Committee has been pushing for the contract to be completed. Chairman Robert Venable says the work should begin soon.
Everyone's committed to the process, and I think it's definitely going to stay front and center for MTAB as one of their top priorities.
The first Alaska-class ferry will sail between Juneau, Haines, and Skagway. It will have crew quarters but no staterooms and will not sail overnight. Venables and Newsell spoke during the Southeast Conference's mid-session summit in Juneau. A roadmap for Southeast Alaska energy development is meeting some resistance from the Southeast Conference. The regional organization's Energy Committee passed a resolution Tuesday supporting parts of the state-funded Southeast Alaska Integrated Resource Plan, but it called for continued work toward a regional electrical grid, which the draft plan calls too expensive. Committee Chairman Merrill Sanford of Juneau said the Alaska Energy Authority plan lacks some important elements.
This is not a fix-all by any means, but I think we're at a crossroads here, and we have to do something.
The resolution calls for construction of five hydropower plants, Sitka's Blue Lake, Ketchikan's Whitman Lake, Heidelberg's Reynolds Creek, and Angoon's Thayer Lake, and Huna's Gartina Creek. It also supports two new power lines, one from Petersburg to Cake and the other from Metlakatla to Ketchikan. But many at the meeting objected to its emphasis on wood-powered space heaters as a way to reduce electrical demand. Angoon Mayor Albert Howard said biomass energy should not replace long-planned, much-needed power lines and plants.
You talked about a Johnny-come-lately project, biomass is it. Where did that come from? Southeast Conference has talked about intertides for years, and all of a sudden, we got biomass.
The resolution supports wood-powered energy, especially as part of Southeast Alaska's timber industry, but it makes other projects a higher priority. It also calls for full funding of studies of other hydro projects, and it emphasizes the need to build region-wide electrical interties, including a cross-border link to Canada's power grid. The full Southeast Conference Board of Directors will take up the measure before the plan's March 19th comment deadline. The draft plan was developed by an Alaska Energy Authority contractor. The state of Alaska plans to partner with a handful of local communities this year to monitor recreational beaches for paralytic shellfish toxins. It'll be the first time the Department of Environmental Conservation tests non-commercially harvested clams and other shellfish for the dangerous substance. Program coordinator Dave Lowell says the Aleutian-Pribilof Islands Association is already managing a similar local effort.
That's the kind of model we'd like to have, where the community participates in terms of collecting samples and shipping them to us for testing. Then the community is the resource and helps publicize the results and let consumers or harvesters know if there's a hazard.
Paralytic shellfish poisoning is a serious and sometimes deadly illness that can result from ingesting cooked or uncooked bivalves like clams, mussels, oysters, and scallops that contain the toxins. The state regularly tests commercially grown shellfish for PSP, but in recent years there have been a number of cases from personally harvested shellfish, and scientists found extremely high concentrations of the toxin in samples around Ketchikan last summer. There have also been two reports, at least, of suspected PSP poisoning this winter. State health officials say PSP is not limited to certain months of the year. Lowell is hopeful the recreational testing program will help raise awareness about the problem.
A lot of the PSP cases don't get reported, so we really don't know how many cases we have out there.
The legislature approved $400,000 for the pilot program, expected to last 4 years. The Department of Environmental Conservation will choose three communities to participate in the program, one each from Southeast, South Central, and Southwest Alaska. City and borough governments and tribal organizations, tribal governments, are also eligible to apply by April 6th.